So my thought was,
go ahead.
Why don't I start with,
yep.
Are you, now again, this is you, you're the director, the producer. I'm only the actor right
again,
now. So why don't I go back and talk about camp history?
Yes.
That's where I figured you'd start.
Yeah.
The history that I know of, I've run a couple things by her that I wasn't sure of.
Yeah.
And I can tell by the way she answered me, they were right.
Okay.
And then I'll go to when I came on board,
yeah. You know,
how things were, what camp was like then.
Yeah.
And then you guys can play off me.
Yeah.
And that's and exactly then I'll go to
what I thought you were gonna
more modern times or whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
And
welcome back to Camp Time is Real Time. It's finally happened. We've got Tom. I'm your host, Sarah LeBrecq. And this is what we've all been waiting for. It's Tom Cowell talking about the history of camp. All right, so I just want to set the stage for you for enjoying this episode. Because hearing from Tom about all this stuff really just helps to put it into perspective. And what's really cool, just upon listening back to this, is it's not only hearing the stories themselves, but just hearing Tom. And if you can just imagine, when we talked, it was the second week of camp this year. It was a Saturday morning, and it was like 95 degrees out, because all it did was be hot this past summer. And I met Tom at camp, and I talked to him in Sam's office, his new office, Sam's office, and Bill Danner came with me so we could kind of touch upon a lot of things, kind of get as many years as possible. And, you know, to hear Tom go through everything and to see things kind of come to mind as he was looking around the office and remembering things, and things would trigger different memories. It was awesome. This episode is a lot about the history of camp. We're going to go kind of broadly what, you know, how it started, what it was like back then, and then moving through kind of present day. And you'll hear from me, you'll hear from Bill Danner, and you'll hear from Tom, of course. And we just kind of get into a lot of things. And, you know, I tried not to edit too much, one, because as we all know, I'm not that great at it. But two, because it is just really nice to hear the story from him. I think you will enjoy it. I think this will take you back to Pond Street in the summer. This is going to put you on the campgrounds in the summer, and you're really going to enjoy it. We've got a lot more from Tom coming up, but enjoy this one, and we will see you back here for the next installment.
All right,
Tom. So, a podcast 6 months in the making since we started. No, October. Maybe many more months. So you're the guest that everyone wanted. When did you start here? Like, what year was it?
I started in 1977.
Okay. And was that the first year? The first year at camp.
No.
Yeah.
I can digress a little bit to the start of camp that
Please.
I know of. Now, always under correction from Gail or Sue, maybe, but other than those two, I probably have a pretty good handle on the beginning. I know that she started it in 1973. She grew up in Natick, Gail, and she was a teacher. In fact, she was on the cheering team. I remember her telling me she was, in fact, one of our 50s days here, she came out in her cheering uniform.
Come on.
From Natick High School.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. And so she was a teacher. I don't know what school system, but she was a primary teacher, I think, third or fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And was a single mom, but she had Steve, Sue, and Brett, three kids. And married Ed,
mm-hmm.
who was a successful bachelor, if you will, an attorney with a great practice. And her dream as a teacher was to do something like this. And when this property came up for sale, basically they bought it. And her dream was to create hopefully what we have today. And they moved here to She moved here and started the camp.
Wow.
It was called Sherwood Forest.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. Was it already a camp?
Yes.
It was. So Sherwood Forest was a camp.
Yep.
Okay.
Family named the Weinbaums or something like that. I've seen a lot of old pictures over the years. Pictures from, actually, they exist somewhere here. Photos from people up at the pool back then. They had a riflery range. Anyway.
I'm bringing it back.
Yeah. They had one pool. They had riflery. They had horse, the stables really were horses down there. Uh-oh. She said she inherited, when she bought the camp, I think it was 8 or 10 horses.
Oh,
they had pony rides every day. And she kept it for 1 year. She tried.
Yeah.
She said, 1 year, that was enough. The horses were gone, and now they're nice sand and carpets down there, as you know.
Right.
She was afraid of the horse. She didn't like going in the stable.
I didn't know that ever happened. I didn't know that there were actually horses down there when Gail was here, because my daughter was just asking me that recently. She said, when were there horses here? I said, I don't know.
I'm a young dad. I've got a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I, the summer before, I was an ice cream man. I had a route in Franklin. Go through all the neighborhoods, put in the 8-track.
No way.
And it would play Yankee Doodle. And I'd have all these mothers giving me dirty looks out of their front doors and the kids running out to the truck. I did that for the whole summer. I had the entire route of Franklin. The year before that, I was a helper on a beer truck, going to all the liquor stores and taking kegs down into cellars.
Right.
And then around that, I was working sports camps.
Right.
Basketball and soccer camps for, 3 weeks of summer here and there from different places. Right. So I see this ad. It said a local day camp seeking counselor.
Wow.
So I wonder where this is.
Yeah.
So I called. Gail, of course, answered. And I told her I'd like to apply. And she said, well, I'm in Franklin. And I said, oh, really, where? And it turns out it's a mile from my house. Didn't even know it was here. I'd already lived here like 2 years.
Wow.
A lot of people have said that since, though. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know there was anything in there.
Yeah.
They knew about the dragon, the serpent, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So I came over, I sat with her in her office. She hired me, and I was the Mohawk counselor.
You were at junior camp?
Junior camp.
Wow. Yeah.
There were only 2 junior camps in. There was Tenderfeet and Mohawks, which are now...
Tadpoles and Cubs, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But back then, just 2. And I became the Mohawk counselor, and I did it for 2 years. Great kids. I remember doing a skit, play a Barry Manilow song, Copacabana.
Heard that a couple times here. Yeah,
we acted that out with my little 5-year-olds. Her name was Lola and Tony. And,
yep.
Oh, yeah.
And Gail loved it. I can remember Gail so excited about my skit. I said, all right, this is a good place.
Yeah.
This gal likes me.
Yeah.
So I did that 2 years, and back then assistants went all 6 weeks with heads.
Yeah.
So I had the same girl. Her name was Cheryl. She was a high school girl here in Franklin. And that was my summer those first 2 years.
And there was a camp director here, or was Gail kind of running things?
No. My predecessor was named Phil Henderson, but his nickname was Flip, F-L-I-P. And he was a teacher in Franklin, and he started the camp as Gail's first program director, 73 to 78, and then he moved to California. She gave me a call. Said, we want you for the U.S. Army. No, she said, we would like you to come over, and I said, sure.
Based on your Copacabana skit?
Absolutely. I think I at least have it. And I got here on time, and I was civil.
Yeah.
You know, and there weren't many teachers on the staff then. You know, there was some real personalities, I'll tell you. Oh, I've heard on a couple of the podcasts, I think most recently it was about the rocket ship that went from...
Oh, yeah, Eric, yeah.
Yeah. Eric mentioned it, and Fink mentioned it, because his dad went here at Sherwood Forest.
Yeah.
But the cable was here for years, and the cable went from the big oak tree down to a tree that's non-existent on the other side now, at the base of the hill. it doesn't exist anymore. And it was a rocket. When I came here, that rocket was still there. And it looked like, have you ever gone to a carnival and gone on the dive bombers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yes.
It looked like the front of one of those. And the kids apparently got in and rode down.
So it was a big zip line.
A big zip line inside a little rocket ship. Probably had no seatbelts.
Like,
and it existed. It went from the big oak down to the bridge area. I don't know what the bridge looked like then, but.
Well, according to Eric, we used to just zip him over to the woods. He goes, there was no bridge. And I was like, that can't be right.
No, I believe that was a bridge. There was a bridge. The condition of the bridge, I don't know. So riflery, the rocket, the horses, that was the big difference. He had a 22 rifle range out in the woods somewhere.
In the woods.
Oh, yeah, and the kids had target practicing out there.
Riflery and archery, do you know, at the same time?
Yeah, archery was here,
so
too.
We were shooting.
Archery was at the end of the stables.
That's right.
I'll tell you, there weren't many buildings here then. There were not many of these sheds were here. Archery, for instance, met underneath the boys and girls bathrooms in that little cubby area.
Yeah.
That's where archery met.
Oh, okay.
Then they'd go out from there.
I didn't know it.
Yep.
Games?
Games existed, but it was kind of like just sports then.
Yeah.
But we
were up there.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember it being, when I was talking to Aaron Lewis, he's like, I only know games to be like at post.
The theater was the boathouse at one time, correct? Or was that?
What's left of that little support down there, that little roof, that was the boathouse.
Okay.
And it was just a cement base with slats around it. Got the whole camp in there one year.
It's like a challenge.
Competition?
We wanted to remember doing something like that.
We did a number of years of challenging to how many people we could put in something.
I remember that.
That was very exciting.
Cars, canoes.
Cars.
Yeah.
Do you remember that big Lincoln down there in the middle of the park? This was a counselor I brought from Medfield. Betsy Dugan was her name. And she drove her father's old Lincoln convertible. And we had the whole staff into it, and the thing was down on the ground almost. But we put everybody in the boathouse, we put everybody in the theater the whole camp in the theater.
Yeah.
We used to put people in refrigerator boxes in the fort before it was the gazebo in the fort.
Back before we believed in claustrophobia and panic attacks.
Yeah. Or pandemics.
Yeah.
When did you start to feel it kind of shift? Or was it gradual?
Immediately. I mean, not immediately, but as soon as I experienced the 1 year as program director, I said, we've got to make some moves and just make it better. It wasn't like we didn't like it. It was good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't going to really move where it should be until, and I know how she felt. You know, like, for instance, here's an everyday thing, but my predecessor, Flip, made a schedule up for every single day. He would come in and make the schedule up for that day, and I did that for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Well, this is crazy.
Right.
Every single day, trying to make a schedule for that day. Okay, what did they have this week?
Activities.
Oh, yes.
It took me a minute to realize.
Not the little thing.
Yeah, so yeah.
He was not making a weekly calendar. He was filling them out on daily
every
basis.
Day.
Did this tribe have archery yesterday? Okay. Oh, my God.
And let me tell you something. That's the only part of this job I ever really disliked. When I add groups or add areas, I'd have to spend the off season with no computer.
Right.
This is all me charting, making little hash marks.
Yeah.
Who had what? Who can get what? Who can't handle video? You know, doing those was. Wow. He did it. Well, didn't have all the areas, but so the first year I'd come in really early every morning. I'd sit at that desk over there and I'd make that. I said I can't do this anymore. So that changed immediately. That's a big example.
Yeah.
I went to what we have similar to what we have now.
It seems such a simple move. That it should have happened so quickly.
Right.
You know?
Have a schedule.
Have a schedule that works.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any experience scheduling.
Right.
You know, I was a teacher and a coach, but that was I never schedule things.
Yeah.
But even now, I'm just looking around. Like, there's the schedule for, like, who's going to be on playground duty. Yep. Like, it's yeah, a little thing. That,
none
like,
of that exists.
Of course, yeah.
The story time in junior camp. Because I was a junior camp counselor here initially,
yeah.
I felt it. Like, we used to, I inherited this, but it worked. They don't do it anymore. Haven't done it for a long time. But every day, my Mohawks put their towels down on the ground, laid down and took a nap. It turned, I would read to them a story. Yeah. And then half of them would fall asleep. And the reason for that is she set it up because we did an all day junior camp. And yep. Most day camps do half days yeah. at that age.
Yeah.
So this is what they did and it worked. Half of them would fall asleep. It was really cute. We also did juice and cookies for the whole camp. I believe it was the whole camp initially. Ooh. Then we cut it down to just the upper lower half, yeah. and then eventually it came down to the famous junior camp juice.
Ah, it's delicious. Yeah.
Which Bill and drank a lot of. So
I did.
I actually caught him in there a couple of times.
No, so is that because it did, growing up anyway, it did feel like junior camp was part of the campus.
Special,
yeah,
special.
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 But they used to be down, they used to have their flagpole and their circle down by the stables.
Yeah, and then they asked to come back.
And then, as I recall, they would come up, initially it would be just Fridays for like the theme days to show it off, and then now they're just, you know, they're part of the show.
Yeah, but the counselors at the time said, Tom, we want to be part of it all the time. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Are they part of the big circle now?
Oh, yeah.
They have their own post, so the circle has expanded out.
No, it's two circles.
There's two circles.
You can see
okay.
it. Yeah.
It's so been it's like it used to be on time. Fridays. We used to always have them up here on Fridays.
Yes.
And that's what it looks like now.
Yeah. Okay. It's all the time now. They had their own set down, a little flagpole down there.
Yeah. Right.
That's where archery used to be. And then it became junior camp flag.
Yeah. Because I remember growing up, it did. You didn't know the junior camp counselors as much. And that, like, as a kid, like, grow as a camper, knowing the counselors was everything, and it was just like, well, I don't know those four tribes. Like, I just don't know them.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, and then now
part of the family thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that was an evolution from the staff and coming back to me, and I'm going, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things, actually. I would always ask the staff for, input.
Yeah.
What can we do better? And many times I say, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Good thinking. Let's
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
And I try to plug that in the next year.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the questions that I was going to ask you, Tom, was, you know, and we're in that range of time, was I always noticed how close you were to Zeth and Laura in particular, right?
Did Laura Hayward?
Yeah,
wow.
the adventure counselor.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like you guys were kind of like the big three of the mid-80s, late-80s. And then when they were gone, I did notice a difference in you in just, you know, you had lost your compadres and all of a sudden you were just a director at that point. Did you notice that too?
Yeah, I think my early years, I was just, I had friends, if you will, here. And with them, especially Zeph, with them, I was just in buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to keep that difference.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Yeah.
There's a fine line there. I always had a little bit of an edge. And I know, for instance, Sam grew up here.
Yeah.
My first time, make sure I stay on the course of what you asked, mm-hmm. My first time as a program director, I was doing the tour of camp, and I had a bullhorn. I used to use the bullhorn a lot. I never used it the last 10 years, I don't think, or very little when I had to, but I was a single dad at that point,
mm-hmm.
and with custody of the two boys, and I was very happy with that. It was what it should have been. And Sam just held, he was just with me. He was 2 and a half, couldn't come to camp yet.
Mm.
And I didn't know he'd gotten between my legs. There's a picture here somewhere of this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I swung the bullhorn down after I said something and whacked him right in the head.
Oh, no.
And all the staff was, oh. And he was tough. He teared up a little bit, didn't cry.
Right.
Yeah.
He was so happy just to be there.
Yeah.
So he has evolved. He's absolutely lived this camp.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we think much alike.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come into this all so ready to do it. You know, I knew this years ago. Okay, Sam's going to take over for me. And I would talk to Gail about it. I said, there's going to be a day, Gail. And I think Sam would just be the choice, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
If you feel...
There was never any other question.
No.
Yeah.
Because I presented it and I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew how he thought off-season, right. talking. I knew how he thinks.
Yeah.
But he's more... he's got a softer approach than I do, mm-hmm. and it works. You know, I had to build it. Now he can, like, build on top of it with his personality, which is similar to mine, but kind of a nicer guy.
Yeah.
Well, so okay. Well, all right.
Well, I don't mean nicer.
Yeah,
guy.
But I'll say, but it's this. It still commands the same type of reaction from the staff and the campers.
But I had that, whatever you used to call it, the cowl scowl.
Absolutely.
And I could do it from 100 yards away on the soccer field.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I mentioned to you about that father figure aspect to you. You know, you remind me a lot. My stepfather is, you know, way meaner than he could ever be, you know what I mean? But it was that same look, though, that I would get if I was doing something wrong. I could see him and he, you know, okay.
Yep.
I'm done. Yep. I'm backing off.
Yeah.
Oh.
My father, all of our fathers.
Everyone, yeah.
I grew up with a father, too. I love my father. But he could look at me from 100 yards.
Right, but you could do that to 100 people.
Yeah.
And they would listen.
At once. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Right, we knew when you were not.
And it worked.
Yes. Stopped.
Well, even like on those first days of camp in Sing, where we're getting, you know, hands up, kind of like getting back into it, and you'd be like, whoa, that took too long.
Or counselors help me.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah, yep.
Help.
Yeah.
That's what John did for me all the time.
Yeah.
He was a master. Well, there were other counselors who were masters of that.
Yeah.
He was the absolute master of that. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Whatever it is about you and Sam in your role at this place, people understand to respect it in a sort of way, and that's what you had to build, right? Yeah. So Sam didn't have to build it. He's building on it, but developed it from
I think we're looking backwards at, because we all know Sam so well from everything that he, you know, we've all known him since childhood.
Right.
My kids, when they talk about Sam and they talk about this office, it's the same talk. It's, we don't want to go to Sam's office.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's still there. He may be a little softer, but not.
No, I know.
Yeah, he's still, right? 100%.
Love him to death. I'm very proud of it. Obviously, a legacy here.
Yeah.
That I feel it's my family, along with the Rices, you know. And, mm-hmm.
I mean, and how cool is it also that the transition kind of happened at the same time where Billy started taking over a lot?
Billy's doing a great job. Yeah. And of course, the video guys, they were funny.
Yeah.
Beyond Bill. Bill was good at this too, but all the video counselors, we'd be in the show, on the Friday show,
mm-hmm.
and we'd be two-thirds of the way through all the tribes, the troops, and the video counselor, I'd see them coming out of the stable door, trying to find me up in the back,
right,
to tell me they needed five more minutes because of whatever was happening.
Yep.
And I go... And then so we try to tell the counselor, slow down, go up there slowly.
Right.
And then 5 minutes later, you come out again. We just a couple more minutes.
Yes. Yeah. It's
no video when I came here. No video.
Oh.
A couple of the counselors took 8mm, those silent blue movies.
Yeah.
And we'd show them once in a while to the camp with no sound.
Yeah.
So there was no video.
Okay. Yeah. But that must have come relatively early on.
Yeah. I'll give Zeff Gennetti credit for starting that. And Bill Pope, another guy I had from Medfield. They kind of co-started that.
Was it their idea? Were they like, Tom, like, we'll happily work at your camp, but...
No, Zeff was already here. He was. Okay. His role was a little bit of everything. He did play guitar, did campfires. He was a teacher in... No, he's a college student then. It evolved because he took some 8mm around here and we talked and we said, let's create a video.
Yeah.
I needed more areas because the camp was growing.
Oh.
When I got here, I don't think the camp touched 100 kids.
Wow. Yeah.
When I came here, the end of the year party was in the stables.
Uh-huh.
And I kept that going a few years too before we went out to places.
Yeah.
We ended up at the Elks, but there were a lot of other places we went to.
Yeah.
Which you guys remember too, but they were always down there. We'd cook steaks, we'd build a big barbecue right outside the stable door here on the stones. Mm-hmm. And then there was a counselor show, forerunner to the counselor video, kind of,
yeah,
where the counselors did stuff they could never do.
Right.
Yeah. But she wanted the change. She said, here's where we need to go. And I'd say, here's where we need to go. And that's what started the evolution of what we have today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was here in place, and it was a lot of fun. But it had to be changed to be successful in the long run.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went from 90 kids to, you know, today.
250.
And the driveway came in, all these kind of things.
Yeah. How old were you when you became program director? Like, were you more or less the same age as some 30. Of the counselors? Yeah, okay. So you.
I'm 75 today. Tell me I don't look at it.
You don't look at it.
Oh, thank you very much.
No.
Not really. I knew you were in your 70s, but if I had to guess, I would have said 70, 71.
Yeah,
but you honestly look like you're in your early 60s.
Yeah. So.
It freaks me out when I think about it. Just turned 30. June, so I started here, just turned 30.
Okay.
And Jesse came with me. That was great. So Jesse could come as a 3.5-year-old tenderfoot, you know.
You started
so
it.
So that was great.
Yeah.
And the blessing on all of us, that staff members that were able to bring their kids, it's just unbelievable.
Yes.
Kids all got to grow up here.
Well, now, especially now, I mean, just between the two of us, like, our kids, all of the counselors, it feels like now there are more kids of counselors at camp. Whereas when we were just coming, growing up, it was kind of almost like first generation. And then, like, mm-hmm. we all were just like, I never want to leave this place. I can't wait to send my kids. And there are just a lot of them out there right now.
Friday pickup's a blast. Yeah. You know, you're running into people that you've known for 20 years.
Yeah.
They're all picking up their kids. It's a mini reunion every Friday.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's how I saw you last year.
I know. I was like,
oh, it's Sarah.
Yeah.
We would hire staff, and their salary would be adjusted because of the kids coming, but it was still, they were way ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People loved bringing their kids.
Yeah.
That was the first pair?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
I ended up with about 20 pairs.
Well, let's talk about that.
You know,
because that was something I wanted to talk about, was the feather, the suspenders.
I wanted to create an identity. Flip, my predecessor, wore a big straw hat.
Okay.
Wide brim, about out like this. He wore a big straw hat every day. Same hat, every day all summer. And I said, okay, I got to do something too. So I stuck a feather in my hat.
There you go.
That was it. And then the next year I said, my God, I need something else. Suspenders. Nobody wears suspenders.
Yeah.
That's how that happened. Simple as that. And then all the buttons came from mostly kids over the years.
Yeah.
You know, they'd fill up with all the pins and all this stuff just as me collecting.
Yeah.
That I went to Niagara Falls, had to buy that hat. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's similar in the way that, so you would do that with hats and like with t-shirts. I remember growing up and then working there. If I saw a t-shirt, and I was like, my first thought is like, will this be a good camp shirt? And it's, you kind of, because it is all kind of like you are developing your identity, and we're all, you know, slightly different at camp, and it's, you know, what image do I want to present? And,
I have probably, I don't know how many, I haven't chucked them out yet. I have so many t-shirts. I've given a bunch to Sam.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Because nobody questions anybody here.
Mm-hmm.
This is you talk about being woke or being in an environment where nobody is allowed to put you down for anything.
Yeah.
That whole thing, I always got kidded for the no booing.
No booing, yep.
But we didn't boo.
Yep.
And if it started, I was started the first week, couple new kids.
Yep.
You know, for years, the Explorers, and we used to go through 7 grades of campers.
Yeah.
You were a camper through 7th grade.
Yeah.
And it just got to be a little bit too much trying to turn them into campers.
Mm-hmm.
They just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even the 6th graders would spend those first few days like, you know this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go up there and sing. I'm not going to... But I'd like to boo somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
So never allowed the booing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you do the no booing with the cowl scowl. And it was like, put an end to it. It was like a day.
And I hope that there are people out there now that their parents are going, yeah, that was cool.
I'm like,
you shouldn't be booing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember thinking it was silly as an explorer, as a 13-year-old kid, like, you know, yeah. And playing cards in the back of the tent, not involved yes. in seeing. But now, looking back, yeah, I mean, a positive vibe like that
yeah.
is everything positive. You're looking for in life.
The burning the candle at both ends is something that is still going on, I can tell you that much. Like these 30 days of camp, like, I love that still the counselors are totally taking advantage of every moment, and in so doing are like every night, like, with hanging out with one another.
Sure,
and
that's great.
Yeah.
There's no outside world for 30 days.
No.
And there shouldn't be.
No.
That's total immersion. We, all of us.
Yeah.
Total immersion.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
We talked about that. I used to get a lot of grief from my Medfield friends in regards to that. We would come into camp, Scott, Tim Irwin, Susie, Karen, and we would disappear for 6 weeks, and yeah. everyone in Medfield would be like, meh, 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 you know? Here they go, gone for 6 weeks. Nobody liked that.
Isn't it the best?
Well, did you know about this? So once the overnights were gone, this group started doing the camping trip.
Oh, sure.
Based on it,
right? But
yeah.
more than one a year.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We would. Yeah. Well, what happened was, so the overnights were gone, and I forget whose idea it was to just start doing it as counselors on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go away for the weekend. We would either hit, we started down in Medfield somewhere on the Charles River, and then we settled on Norton, and we started going to that island in the Norton Reservoir, and based on the fact that we lost the overnights.
I used to deliver Sam down there.
Yes.
I'd ride him down, deliver him in that little dirt parking lot.
Yeah, right.
And I said, behave yourself, and I'd leave.
We mentioned Sing. One of the questions that I had in here was in regards to Sing and where a lot of the songs originated from, you know, in particular. Do you have a favorite one? Did you bring one with you?
Just the FCDC Kid.
The FCDC?
I brought that one. My camp, I grew up at a 4-H camp.
Mm-hmm.
I only went 1 week a year. And I loved it. And it was the same camp song, but under the name of that camp. So all I did is change a few words. But the rest of the songs, no, we're here. You know, we can't do things like Drunken Sailor anymore and things like that. But Sing was, as I said, down there, a guy named Jim with a guitar, and all the Coming Around the Mountain, all those traditional ones. Then all the other ones that came on board, like The Cat Came Back, and things like that, evolved from the staff or the music counselor.
Right.
Yep.
When I started, music wasn't an area by itself. The guy just kind of ran Sing and did some. It was almost like a Pied Piper just going around camp.
Huh.
So the music evolved. Sometimes I couldn't get a music person.
Mm-hmm.
So music at one point was called Movement. Remember that with Jody?
Yeah.
Yep.
I do.
another year it was called Shaolin.
Shaolin, I remember.
But it had nothing to do with music. That was just martial arts.
Using that space right there.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't find a good music person.
Yeah.
So we had to create a hole in the schedule to fill. Shaolin, she was a black belt in that discipline.
Uh-huh.
Julie. Yeah. Drove
A Firebird or yeah.
Camaro.
It had like the bird painted on the hood, as I recall.
And she'd rev it up leaving, and Gail had to talk to her. Or tell me to talk to her.
Yeah.
Tell her not to do that with her engine when she's leaving. Julie. Kids loved it, though.
Yeah.
Of course.
We had a few parents, too, that used to, leave too fast and kick up all the stones on the traffic police.
Yep.
One thing that you had mentioned to me in regards to Sing was that you felt that Sing was the heartbeat of camp.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what made it the real heartbeat is when we started doing it under the tent. Mm-hmm. For a while, I wanted to get out of the state.
Yeah.
And so, as the camp grew, we had to. Mm-hmm. We went from, as we said earlier, from 90-something to 200 within a matter of not too long.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to, so she started renting a tent, had green and white stripes.
Yep.
But no sides. And once we got in there, it wasn't the rug wasn't there either. It was just on the asphalt for a couple years.
Yeah.
Once we got in there, it started to really, it was the heartbeat.
Yeah.
It was everything. I used to interview people and tell them about Sing. Yeah. And you're going to have to get up in front of 200 people at times, but it's going to prepare you for life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people come back and tell me it did.
Yeah. Oh,
I can speak in front of anybody now after what I had to do here.
Yeah.
You know?
To a person, I think. Yes. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Yeah.
And all the applauding every single thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Every joke, every riddle, every body part, every other thing we invented.
Yep.
Brought the music person up with me. Initially, it was just the music person and I, and then we created all
the band,
the FCDC band, and the tambourine solo, and then the electronics came in. The kids could come up and play, and we got the bows, and we had something called the Bose Master. I don't think they use the Bose anymore. We're more
I think they do.
They do?
Yeah, yeah.
We had something became the Bose Master, and lots of times this wasn't me. I'd want a helper, and then somebody would name it.
Mm.
And then it became the Bose Master.
Right.
And they had to take it to every competition. So Sing was the essence of camp. Still is.
Yeah.
It's when you're all together, everybody looks forward to it. It's a half an hour. Hey, if it was going well, you remember, I'd let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Sing. Today. Yeah. Yep.
And then you just adjust the rest of the schedule for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always found it to be the place where the best moments occur.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was always my take. And I remember, there was one instance that I never forgot. It was this little, because you would invite the kids up to tell a joke, and this one kid stood up, and he comes walking up, and you said, "You have a joke?" And he handed him the microphone, and he says, "Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?" And everyone's, "Why?" He says, "Because he was dead." And the look on your face, you just kind of scanned like, "Okay."
And I had to ask every kid, "Now, did you run this by your counselor?"
Yep. Yeah.
Whisper to them away from Mike.
Yep.
And so I started making a rule, if you will. Anybody that comes up has to run it by the counselor first, but still kids would slip through the cracks.
Right.
Yep.
And they'd tell, something I shouldn't have told,
right,
and we'd go right. The staff was great at just going right to the next thing. Just the best.
Yeah.
And then happy birthday, and Whitey came on to being. Gail picked Whitey up. See him over there?
Yep.
She picked him up somewhere. She said, "This is awesome." And he sings happy birthday. So we'd bring Whitey up, and Bonnie named him. We had a contest to talk about a great counselor.
Oh, woo. I know. Yeah, we'll get to Bonnie.
Bonnie named him. We had a contest, and at the time, Whitey Bulger was in the news of being caught, and arrested out in Arizona or somewhere.
Yeah.
And so everybody, Whitey. So that's and anybody has a birthday, he comes out,
for
you press a button on his belly, and he sings happy birthday.
Okay.
And then we bring up
whoever's going to do the Beatles.
And then I give credit to John Svetke for that, the Beatles' happy birthday.
Yes.
You say it,
Yep.
Is that your memory of who brought it?
I guess so. I remember one different person would have to do it every summer. I actually had to do it one summer.
Yeah.
Now it's every day. Assistant has to do it, and then they can pick the next one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they love that.
Yeah.
I pick,
Yeah.
And then they'll pick those kids that are really shy, and they have to come up and do that.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But I would say that was one of the things that brought me out, was because I was very terrified that
I had
to do that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, there I was doing that, and it helped me.
Because didn't it start, I have like a weird memory of when it started, and then they would do it, whoever it was would do it the whole year, and then they were like, it has to be an assistant male from Medfield.
Yes.
very specific.
It did go for that for a while.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I probably had six of them there.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It was like, all of the
staff. Yeah, for whatever reason, it did have that path for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of things ran like that here, like the assistants all summer.
Yeah.
A bugler all summer. When I brought John, as I said in last week's pod, I brought him here to be the bugler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved him.
Right,
But he was very shy, too. Very shy. I brought him, very sweet, shy.
Yeah.
He was kind of hired, if you will, to be the bugler.
Yeah.
Sometimes at orientation, I'd go, "Does anybody here play?"
Yes, I remember
and
that.
Then, Yeah. I do. Yeah. Ah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And now it's become every day somebody does it on different instruments.
Yeah.
Drums, everything.
Yeah.
So in CITs, we started with only 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my class was like 6. Yeah.
Yeah, we had talked about that. I only had a few. And now there's quite a few.
And assistants went from 6 to 3, and then that didn't work because you can't break up the middle of the session.
Yeah, middle sessions.
And now it's down to 2.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Because people could naturally get a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a really strong assistant and a count and a head that, maybe their forte isn't planning and things like that, all of a sudden the assistant's almost becoming the head.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this kept everybody sharp by rotating them. All stuff you learn on the job, if you know.
Yeah.
So when you're staffing, imagine I know the answer, but when you're putting your assistants with the heads, are you like, all right, assistant who's been here for a while, strong in this, can help the head in this way?
Yeah. You definitely do that.
Yeah.
You do it on what little you know of the staff in the beginning.
Right.
However, there were years when we had, I think you were here, I don't know if it was that rain summer.
Oh, I want to talk about that.
But we had, there was been a couple times we had no new staff members.
Yeah.
And so like we couldn't do bananas or something.
Yeah.
That's how it evolved. Where back in the day, woo, wicked turnover. I start from scratch with things. I love that we made it. This is part of the secret.
Yep.
We cooked it up through years of being at camp. This is what we do. This is what we expect. You're going to love this. Even I'm telling you, you're going to love it now, but I know you are going to love it later.
Right.
You are the luckiest person in the world to be at this orientation, about to spend 6 weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite job, and it is.
It's everyone's. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You can't explain it to people that aren't here.
No.
It's impossible. You're just banging your head against the wall.
Right.
I stopped doing it. I would just say, I love my job. Or people will say, today, you spent over 40 years there?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You know, you can't explain it.
Yeah.
And you couldn't to your classmates or your college friends. Like,
it means so much. I mean, even just the people that have asked to be married here.
Sam was married.
You know, Sam was married here. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
And Billy's about.
Yeah, Sam and Billy, right?
It means so much to people.
Yeah.